you hear me?
You're on the air.
Welcome to Compassion Dakini. It's a show about living the life, a show about bringing out your compassion to the world. It's a show about sharing ideas and how we can make a difference in the world by doing little things. So for the new listeners, and if you'd like to call in, please, as a guest, call in. Our number is 347-637-3220. The number is 347-637-3220. So today we have a very special guest who is my producer and my friend and my confidant and my mentor, who is on the show with me. His name is Victor Gardner. Hello, Victor.
Hello, Kim. I don't deserve all those titles, but I'll take them. I appreciate that.
Thank you, because you are an inspiration to how I came onto the show. So, listeners, audience, this is the man that I've been bragging about and talking about. He is live here with me. We're located in Germany right now. It's 10 o'clock, and it's a little bit late, so we're trying our best to be uppity and happy, like, you know, normal daytime, but we're working on it, okay? So also, most of my listeners who been wanting to know, how was my hike, how was my trip to Kilimanjaro? I just came back from Kilimanjaro this Sunday morning, Saturday evening. I'm back home, back in Germany, after being away for 15 days or so. So much to say, so much to talk about, so much to share. And so anyways, Victor, so with Victor just happened to be my a guy that I really needed help, because I am just playing catch up right now. So it's kind of cool not have to prepare so much for this show.
No. You don't get off that easy.
Okay, most of my preparation was hiking for the mountain, and I hiked the mountain, so now I just want to come back and just have fun and enjoy and kind of ease my way back to society. You know, being away for 15 days with no electronics, no computers, no cell phone, and you just have a conversation and just one foot in front of the other. So it was kind of magical. And coming back and, you know, checking my email, I only have 500 plus emails that I need to respond and, like, you know, 27 missed calls. But hey, you know, trying to catch up, and I'm trying my best. So today, we're just going to have fun, and we're just going to talk about. So how should we do this, Victor? Can you ask me all the questions and kind of like be a semi-host, and then I can answer the – or do you want me to –
Kim.
Yes, my dear. Yes.
Be quiet. Ladies and gentlemen, Kim is full of energy, and it's childlike, and it's wonderful, because there's not too many people in the world that has the type of energy, or have the type of energy that Kim has, and it's always positive. except when I'm talking to her about her her takes when we got to record her meditation minute. But Kim is one of these people that when she steps into a room, it brightens up, not because her teeth are so white, but because of the energy that comes from her. A little while back, when Kim and I were discussing the show, her show, Compassion Bikini, we were talking about different things that she could do to draw in listeners and things of that nature. And she, all on her own, not by my prodding or anything like that, decided to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. And she did a little, a small feature on it a couple of shows ago, where she described, okay, it's not the highest mountain, but the cold and the incline is what really gets people. And I'm very proud to say that I know someone personally that actually took on a feat such as this, not for herself, but for others, because the purpose of climbing the mountain, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kim, was to place the 108 wishes or ideas of each individual that you came in contact with on top of that mountain, and to pray and hope for peace and prosperity for all those that submitted for you. Am I right or wrong or indifferent or what?
Yes, yes, you are definitely right on that. Yes.
Okay, so we're going to play role reversal. I'm going to host. You're going to be the guest.
Yay!
So, nah, it's not that easy. Trust me. This is going to be like when we're in the studio and I'm grilling you. So get ready for that. Except this is live radio.
I'm ready.
This is live radio. No double takes. Okay.
No double takes.
So,
okay.
You began your trek on the 14th, and coincidentally. That was the day before I had my major neck surgery. And I know you were very upset and worried for me and things of that nature. And by the way, if I didn't tell you, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it. So did my wife and the family. But on the 14th of March, you took this trek. And how many people were you with, and how many people actually made it to the top?
Eight. I was with eight people, and all eight of us made it to the top with guides who were from the local area. They were known as the Chaga group. The Chaga group is a tribe that is, they are the mountain tribe. They know every plant on the mountain. They know every sickness that is going on in the mountain. They just knew the mountain because their mountain was their home. The mountains were their backyards. So we went with a group of tour, and they handpicked four magnificent, I call them archangels because they were really my archangel. They came and they led us and they took care of us, and it was incredible. It was incredible.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like you had a great time. I mean, the ratio, I know you were going with some women. Or was this just a mixed group of men and women, or was this that woman's group you were telling me about?
No, it was just a women's group, except for one fellow who joined us, and he was from stateside. So he flew from Chicago to Frankfurt and then joined us in the group. So we started out with 12, and then we came down to only eight of us. So there were seven women and one man, and plus the four guides that were with us. Yeah.
So
it ended up being 12. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, this guy came over from Chicago or Illinois. That's great because it's a very – I mean, it's not that many people that get this opportunity. Now, I know you had your personal reason for doing this, but would you mind sharing some of the others' reasoning? Was it just to challenge themselves, or did they have the same purpose in mind as you, or what was their reasoning for climbing Mount Kilimanjaro?
It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for some of them, and some of them, what inspired it all was one of my friends who's also I work with, and she we started talking about doing this 108, you know, life is great. So I said, okay, you know, if you want to, do a life-changing experience, do this one thing. So she came back and she's like, hey, you know, on my list of before I die is I'm going to do Kilimanjaro. And I said, okay, Kilimanjaro, Africa, big deal. She's like, oh, Kim, and you're coming with me. And I was, you know, telling her, I said, no, I don't climb mountains. You know, I do yoga and I don't do this thing. She's like, oh, no, you're coming with me because, you know, you're the one that started this and you're going to see me through it. And so I was kind of like, okay. And that was one of my thing is anybody who I work with, anybody who I teach yoga, one of the things that I inspire to them to do a 108, I want to be able to witness one item on that list. So that way they get reconfirmation and then I get reconfirmation that, you know, we are both serving the purpose, a higher purpose. So she started planning and she did everything. So I, you know, I said, okay, I'll just do whatever. And then so then all these single women decided, hey, this would be really great because we'll have this group. And these groups are all athletes. They are skiers. They are what I would call the thrill seeker. Like, so they were young, they're very, you know, adventurous, they do the crazy things. So out of all of us, you know, I was the older one, I was the one that had kids, I the one that had family, I was the one that's married. So each one of them wanted to trek this mountain because I didn't know this, but when I didn't do much research, I knew it was like, it's a 50-50 chance if you are going to make it. But most of the website that I looked at, it's like, hey, you can, you know, no problem if you have a good guide. And then after I finished the climbing the mountain, I get down and then I talk to the local and they're like, oh, didn't you know the name Kilimanjaro means a very hard mountain to climb? And I was like, wait, but on all the website it says it's a little mountain. It's like, oh, it's a joke. It's a joke. It's a very, very tough mountain to climb. And, you know, so we were all like looking at each other. We're like, excuse me, but no bleep. Like, it was very, you know, tough and to climb because we had to face our own inner dragons and we also had to, you know, shed a lot of our cocoon and transform our wings into butterflies towards the end. It's part of us all doing it is just, you know, something we want to accomplish. Like, we wanted a lot of the women who came with something that they wanted to accomplish personally, something that they never knew that they could, but they said, hey, you know, what the heck, we're going to go with a group of, you know, women, will be great, and they end up doing it. But for me, it was partly a spiritual trek for me, and it was also a spiritual pilgrimage because this mountain, Kilimanjaro, it has no mountain ranges. It's just the mountain by itself. It's like the world famous mountain that stood alone, you know, and it's in a very beautiful country in Tanzania. And not only that, it's just there's something really, really magical about that mountain that I just can't describe. The people there are just amazing. I fell in love with Tanzania. And another reason why I fell in love was, you know, their motto is Hakuna Matata. No problem. Everything is great. No problem.
Can I tell you something about Tanzania? I have a high school friend, whose origin is from Tanzania. And she returned to Tanzania after college. And she is the Oprah of Tanzania. Her name is Cecilia Rataga. She is the host of a show that's very much like Oprah's, and she has the same type of connections as Oprah there. And I know you have a desire to meet Oprah, and as well as Michelle Obama. And I wanted to focus on a couple of those 108 of your own that you took to the mountaintop and decided to pray on and things of that nature. Because my friend Cecilia, she is she could have been a prime person as a connection for you had I known. I'm going to be honest with you. I've taken world history and geography, and I didn't even realize that Mount Kilimanjaro was in Tanzania. And had I known that, I could have told my friend Cecilia to find you and do a story of some sort, as well as at least be a person of contact for you while you were there. So talk to me about some of the things you personally, not for everybody else, because I know you like to do a lot of things for everybody else, but what did you take to the mountaintop personally?
For me, I took the part of my 108, because a lot of my 108 has been revamped over a period of time. Everything I accomplish, I just do. And I honestly went onto the mountain praying, saying, you know, what if I just live my life based on faith instead of fear? And what I wish and what I wanted was how to transform myself so I could then learn how to transform the world and change the world. And one of my goals was to be the best healer in the world. And part of being the best healer in the world is learning as much as I can with their traditional medicine, because I believe all the medicine and all the cure in the world is available to us, and it's in the earth, it's in our plants, it's in our trees, it's in, we just don't know very much about it. And that's what I believe. And I believe that all things are possible. And part of my wish was going up there was to understand, you know, the plants, the nature, the habitat, the trees, and how they use all of this. So as part of my hike, I didn't know I was going through the rainforest, and I fell in love with the rainforest. So I end up hugging a lot of trees. So then at the end, they called me the tree hugger, because I was like, this is amazing. Oh my gosh. So, you know, and one other thing I asked was like, you know, is there anybody that knows, you know, anything about these, you know, plants and the medicinal effect? So they happened to find one guy who is the person who speaks English very well, and he has devoted his life to study the plants of the original habitat that is located and grown in Kilimanjaro. So he ended up giving me lessons of, oh, you know, this plant, this bark, this is what we use when we are sick with a cold head, or this is when we have a stomach ache, we chew on this root. And I was just like in amaze, you know. So as I was, that is what I wish. And then so part of my wish was like I got to meet the healer. I got an opportunity to visit the Maasai, the group, the traditional group, the tribal group of Tanzania. And when I was there, I got an opportunity to meet the doctor. He just happened to be in the same place that we were. So he just happened to teach me all the medicinal value that the ethnic tribal group of Tanzania uses. And I just happened to have one out of 100 books that has been published regarding traditional medicine of East Africa. And he just happened to have it. So he just happened to give it to me, and I just happened to own it. So
you just happened to have it in your possession now.
I just happened to have it in my possession. So it was just truly an amazing experience. And so that was one thing I took, you know, up in 108. And part of my other thing is, yes, I would love to meet Oprah. I would love to meet Michelle Obama. It's my inspiration. It's one of my goals. And part of my goal is, you know, a lot of people think those are really lofty goals. They're very hard to attain. But hey, if you live in faith, you know, what does it hurt? I mean, if I never had this goal of meeting Oprah and doing all this stuff, I don't think I'd be on radio. You know, I don't think I would be where I am, because I just like, you know, I think I'm going to do it. And this is part of my opportunity and a stepping stone for me to learn more about myself, to learn to really walk the talk, like, you know, like how you always say, you walk, you need to walk your talk. If you really are into compassion, then how do you live your compassion? That's what you always say to me. So you have came into my life to be that teacher that's saying, hey, you know, walk your talk, do your thing, and show what you're made up of. So, yeah, you push me in my boundaries, and I just keep, you know, saying, okay, you put up, you say, you need to get here, and I work my hardest to get there, and then we'll see what happens. So
and
that was my
credit,
one episode.
To your credit,
huh?
You've met every challenge I've put before you. And, you know, I'm very, very proud of the fact that, you know, I don't want the listeners out there to think I'm this all-knowing guru guy.
Oh, yes, he is.
No. No,
I'm a
guy that works in, I have a great opportunity where I work. And actually, Kim came up to me, I don't know if she told the story to you guys or not, but she came up to me while I was at a function and said she wanted to do this project. And I said, fine. And she was surprised because she thought she was going to meet resistance, but she didn't. And we started working together on this one project. And I saw the potential that Kim had to reach millions and millions of the rocks. Never mind, getting to my wrestling mode. Millions of people across the world, and not just limited to the local area that you're in. And I proposed this idea of this show to Kim, and she was very hesitant, but she said, if I asked three times, then it was probably meant to be. And I was getting frustrated because I don't like to ask people more than once. I'm a literal person. And, you know, it kind of irked me that Kim was, like, pushing it away. But she finally took it on. And despite any criticism that I've given her or others have given her, she persists and she gets better all the time. And your hand of I don't want to say hand of plenty, but your outreached hand to others is now getting exposed to the youth as well as women, because Kim has found her market. She has found her niche. She is great with young adults, young teens, as well as women. And she's impacted a lot of lives in a short period of time. So the trek that she took to Mount Kilimanjaro, yeah, you know, some people say it's a vacation, some people say it's a challenge, but to me, I saw it for you, Kim, as a liberating experience to see that, you know, you can do all the things that you want to do regardless of who or what others say. And I don't know too many people that would voluntarily go climb a mountain of the magnitude of Kilimanjaro and not want to come down, because we spoke prior to you leaving. And you said the one thing you were scared of is coming down. And I asked you why. And you said because the beauty that you had hoped to see and things of nature you wanted to keep and hold on to. But you had to come down from the mountain because you had to spread the word of what it is you saw, what it is you did, and how you can better help others through facing your fears and your challenges. So, again, I want the people that are listening to this show, you know, give Kim feedback. Call the number. The number is 347-637-3220. I've challenged Kim to answer the phone because she has callers, but she's scared. She is scared to pick up the phone and listen to your critiques or your questions, because I know you're out there. I know you're out there. I know you're listening. Because I see the numbers every week, and they're good numbers. So folks want to hear what you're saying, Kim. Open up your phone lines. Open up the chat rooms and correspond with these people. Now, I know we don't have much time left in the show. We should have maybe, 10, 15 minutes left in the show. So I want to continue down this track of your trip. So you make it to the top. What do you see?
So I made it to the top. I need to tell the listeners this. So I made it to the top. So we started like, oh, you know, everybody write your wishes and your prayers and stuff. So along the way, I just happened to meet the priest that was coming down the mountain because everybody went ahead and I was just like too busy hugging trees, enjoying my journey. And then I just happened to meet the priest, and then the priest said, oh, you know, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm bringing all these prayers. So he thought I was joking, and then I pulled out all these prayers, and then he actually blessed the prayer. So we walk up, and then one of my guides like, wow, you must be something special because, you know, you come to Tanzania and then you just happen to meet the priest and he just happened to bless you. And I said, oh, it's because I'm carrying all these prayers, right? Mm-hmm. So we had 3,668 prayers and wishes.
Wow.
Yeah, was kind of awesome. Yeah, so I just said, you know, and one of my wishes, I hope all those wishes come true because they were told. I didn't get a chance to read them because a lot of them were Italian, they were Spanish, they were Norwegian. They had like different languages, so of course I can't read them all. But you know, but I mean, it was just kind of magical. So, and then the group that came with me, they also, you know, submitted some of their prayers. So we just kept on adding along. So the last day, I just kept stringing them, and then finally letting it go and praying and hoping that all those wishes come true, praying and wishing that, you know, there may be peace more in the world, there's more healing, there is, you know, more magical that happens every day, and especially miracles that happens every day. Nothing happens for without a purpose or without a plan. So it's just amazing, and I'm very grateful for it.
Kim, 3,000, over 3,000 3,600 prayers, 3,600 requests. That is amazing. And you're just one person out of billions in this world. And that's a testament to the folks that gave you those prayers and the belief that they have in what you can do and what you have done already. Because, you know, and we can go on a spiritual trek on this one, Buddha, God, Allah, whatever you want to call the higher power that you pray to, ladies and gentlemen, certain people are anointed, whether they know it or want it or not. Certain people are anointed, and Kim happens to be one of those people, and a lot of what happens in her life is a direct reflection of what she does and how she is. So I'm hoping, and I know, I should say I know, that the fact that she's in my life and in others' lives, we are all being positively affected. So when you tune in for the 30 minutes that this show is scheduled for, I'm trying to get her to do an hour, but she's scared. When you tune in for the 30 minutes of this show, you're going to be uplifted one way or the other, whether it's talking about precious stones, whether it's talking about the plight of young men or young women or your pet rock, whatever it is, it's going to be of value. So make sure that you folks listen in every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that's 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and that's also 10 p.m. Central European Time, which we are right now, every Tuesday. This woman is magnificent, I'm telling you. She has some good stuff for you, and I got to get her to get in her Oprah mode sometimes and stop being such a talker, but she's fabulous when it comes to getting her point across. So how much time we got left, Kim? Kim? Did we lose Kim? I guess I got to hold on to the show, keep it going. All right. Well, I think that Miss Fun does a lot of wonderful things in the community. She's in the Kaiserslautern community. If you're familiar with Kaiserslautern, Germany, you will know that the K-Town area is mainly, that's what they call it, the K-Town, is mainly an area for military, U.S. military folks, mainly Air Force. It's a community full of varying thought processes and people that are skeptical or hesitant to get involved in projects such as Kim's.